I want to say what a delight it is to actually hear God's people pray in this congregation. I've missed that. I wasn't with you when you began your in-service or your in-person worship last fall. So I've just got this long period of time where I've missed you. I've missed your voices. I want to thank you for allowing me to journey with you in the weeks that I've been here, both past and these last recent ones. It has been a joy, really, to accompany you as you go through these uncertain times, strange times, to be sure, and uncertain as you begin to look forward and ahead and try to figure it all out. It often does not make sense to us, but it's a joy, indeed, to be able to walk with you, to journey with you, in these times. These last few weeks, if you've been following online, you know that what I've wanted to do is just to allow the grace of Christ, the voice of Christ, to sing the songs, his songs, into your heart. And so we've been looking at the Psalms. And I just want to take a little step back and then run forward with it. We started out by looking at finding refuge, because we need to find our refuge in Christ. And we find that refuge in him as we listen to his voice. But then we looked at the fortress of praise, because it's not just about our finding refuge in him, but actually there's a place that is our fortress, our innermost fortress, the high place, as it were, of praise that allows us to be in a place where God's arms protect us. His Spirit just dwells within us, and he lifts us into his presence. I want to take another step to another psalm, and this morning I want you to look with me at Psalm 63. And I want you to think about, well, what happens when you find your refuge in the time of difficulty and then you have found the fortress? Well, part of what we yearn for, our hearts yearn for, is to find contentment in the place that God takes us. So we are moving to this morning to finding contentment. And before I read the psalm, I want to just sort of describe it a little bit in its fullness. There's a contrasting thought that comes when we pick up the word contentment. It does not come so much in the Hebrew, where the Psalms are written, but it comes more out of the Greek terms, and it's actually a really important distinction, and this psalm builds upon the distinction. The distinction is between satisfaction and contentment. So I want you to, as we read the psalm, as we go through this morning, I want you to sort of hold those two ideas in your mind. And the first thing that might come to your mind is, well, is there a difference? Is there a difference between being satisfied and being content? It was a good description written in the Discover the Bible, actually online. And it gave this description, that satisfaction is to be temporarily full. It's a fleeting state of mind or being. It requires a continual feeding and replenishing. It's never filled. Contentment, though, grows. It grows from within us. And so those that seek only satisfaction, only continual fulfillment, often are fearful and insecure. Those who are content, on the other hand, not just satisfied, but content, they know that Christ will never leave them, will never forsake them, so they are secure. Now, when we take these two words of both contentment on the one hand and being satisfied on the other hand, it does relate to these different kinds of things. One requires a constant replenishing. And so it tends to be diminishing. We get it full, and then it trickles out when you need it again. Contentment, on the other hand, is not like eating. When you eat, you are satisfied and you need to eat again, not very long from now. And then you're satisfied and you need to eat again. But contentment is related to that state that just continues to grow. It does not diminish. So this psalm is a psalm in which satisfaction is found, but contentment is where the psalmist is expressing his heart. And the singer calls us to contentment. The two thoughts are wound together. I want to unwind them a little bit, but let's read the psalm. Psalm 63. It's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. That's the preface to the psalm. So life was not simple for him. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, as my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, and so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of night, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those that seek to destroy my life, they'll go down into the depths of the earth. They'll be given over to the power of the sword. There'll be a portion for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. For the mouths of liars will be stopped. It's the word of the Lord. Let's give thanks to him and seek his face. Father, you speak to us. O Lord God, we stand in your presence. Fill our souls. Fill our minds with understanding. Fill our deep longings with your presence, that we might be satisfied, that we might know you in the fullness of your presence. Come now. Take the shackles off of our minds. Free us from the burdens and the cares that we walked into the service with. Free us from being just focused upon the needs that come ahead of us in this week, that we might see you high and lifted up, and that our hearts would give praise. Receive that praise, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to go back to the distinction between satisfaction and contentment. It's possible that I could be satisfied but not content. Maybe you've had a family discussion at some point. You can think back to one, or maybe you had to think back a few weeks or months. Maybe you just have to think back to what happened this morning. So a family discussion can be something in which you could say, well, everybody had their input. Everybody talked. There were some stronger feelings or not, but I'm satisfied that everybody had their input. But where you came with the conversation may be very non-comforting. And you may have arrived at some place in that just was not anything going to bring you content. You're satisfied, but not content. On the other hand, it's possible to be content, but not satisfied. So going back to family conversations or personal conversations, you can have this deep sense, well, we arrived where we needed to arrive. The conclusion was a good conclusion. I feel good about that. But as I think back on the conversation, there were people whose voices weren't adequately heard, or there were responses that were perhaps sharper than they should have been. So you think about it, you think, well, I'm content with where we arrived, but I'm not satisfied with how everybody was able to engage and how we got to that point. So contentment and satisfaction have their own way of growing. We can be content and we can be satisfied. And that's what God calls us, to find our satisfaction in Christ, but not just being satisfied because He has satisfied our need to have our sins forgiven. My sins are satisfied at the cross, but I need more than just the satisfaction. My heart yearns for a deep sense of contentment, that satisfaction that I find in Christ actually brings me a living contentment. This last week, if you had your news on, your television on, you recognized again that we are a deeply divided nation politically. Deeply divided. But as I began to reflect on all of the conversations in the Senate this week, the arguments for and against the impeachment, it came to my mind that actually both sides were satisfied. They were satisfied, that is, with the argument. If you were against, or if you were against former President Trump, and if you were for the impeachment, sitting in that Senate, you would have found the arguments very satisfying. So how could anybody see anything but this? But then when the rebuttal came, if you were pro-Trump sitting in the Senate, you would have said, well, these are of course the right arguments. You'd have been fully satisfied with it. But I have to think, maybe with only a few exceptions, that the entire Senate had this deep sense of not being content. We have not arrived where we need to be. And so there's still a deep pain. Oh, yes, I'm satisfied with the argument, but the argument didn't get us anywhere. It didn't bring us to a deep sense of unity or of moving ahead. So, no, I'm not content. So this contrast between satisfaction and contentment is all around us, and we need to see it. In Christ alone are we comforted because He abides with us. He stays with us. Let's look at the psalm. It begins in verse 1, of course, with the call to God. Oh, God, all of my troubles, all of my difficulties, all of my uncertainties, but God. And the psalmist begins there again to sing into our hearts. They lift up our eyes and see the greatness of God. Oh, God, I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. I'm going to change the analogy just a little bit based on just our morning coming into prayer. Elder George referred to those that are in our country suffering with enormous cold. So for a moment, instead of being thirsty and you think of it in a desert, I want to change the analogy a little bit to cold. You have been bitter cold. And what you yearn for when you feel that cold is creeping through your fingers, through your toes, you feel it in your arms, you feel it in your nose, you feel it everywhere. What you yearn for is something warm, to be warmed. That's what the psalmist is simply saying. He says, oh God, you are my God, I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. John said, or in the book of John, quotes Jesus as saying, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So when I thirst, out of my heart, out of my choices, will flow rivers of water. That contentment, in other words, flows out of me because the presence, the Spirit of Christ is within me. And that's what the psalmist puts his arms around us and says, come, enjoy this God that I have enjoyed. Lord God, my soul does thirst for you. Come within me and be flowing out of me an endless spring of water. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and a weary land where there is no water, the psalmist says. Even there, we may be comforted. And we may have the sense of confidence, of being, of dwelling in the presence of God. So contentment can come even in dryness. And you may experience not the dryness of a desert, but the dryness of your soul. Lord, are you here? I pray and you don't seem to be present. I don't seem to get the answers, the satisfaction that I want. And God's answer is, I'm with you. Be content. I will walk with you. Verse 2. The watching soul. Not just the thirsting soul, but the watching soul. The watching soul finds contentment in Christ. So, the psalmist says, I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. You see, when I'm feeling dry, when I'm feeling thirsty, when I'm feeling alone, I look upon you, O Lord, in your sanctuary. I behold your power and glory because your steadfast love is better than life itself. I would rather die because the steadfast love of God is greater than anything that I might feel or need, think that I need. So we look on God in our place of worship. Where's our place of worship? It's in our hearts. It's in our choosing. We make a choice to look at the majesty of God. And we behold the power of God. What has he done? He's cleansed me. He's provided for me. He walks with me. Let me allow my heart to remember who God is and what God has done. The times that I have found him in worship, the times that I've been reminded by a fellow believer, a fellow sojourner, and have been encouraged. Say, but nobody's walked with me recently. I haven't been encouraged enough recently. Well, then look back more. See where God has provided it in your life that you might find contentment. We see the glory of God when we look around us. And we see that glory in Christ Jesus himself. That's what the watching soul finds. You have to watch for it. And that's the point of watching. We find the glory of God as we look. As we look and we gaze in our lives, we find his glory there. Verses 3 and 4 go on and open up this whole idea of the blessing of the one who wanders in Christ, the wanderer in Christ, verses 3 and 4. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. It's better than life. As long as I live, it's better than life. And the psalmist reflects on that. I can go back as long as I live forward. As long as I have lived, as long as I will live. Your love, O God, is better than life. Your presence, your steadfast love has kept me. It brought me to the presence of Christ. It brought me to understand my need for Christ. It brought me to understand God's love for me in Christ. God's steadfast love has walked with me all along my journey. Yes, I've wandered. My mind has wandered. My heart has wandered. I've sought other things. I've put other things, other opportunities in front of God. I've made them my little gods. But God's love has not left me. God's love has always been steadfast. My soul will be satisfied, is what verse 5 says. It goes on. So throughout life, I can still go forward. And the soul's satisfaction or the soul's contentment is what we find when we look back and we see God has always walked with us through these years. Verse 5, my soul will be satisfied. And again, here's the idea of the satisfaction. As with fat and rich food. So you see, the idea of satisfaction often accompanies this idea of eating, of drinking. There's satisfaction. But behind the satisfaction is a deeper level of contentment. And that's the second half of verse 5. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed, I meditate on you on the watches of the night. You know, the time when you're sleepless. When the cares and the concerns of the day just seem like they stand and they replay over and over and over again in your mind. Sleeplessness. What do? We don't count sheep. No. We count God's promises, God's blessings, God's presence. So over and over again, I meditate on you in the watches of the night. You see, the soul is only satisfied. The soul is only deeply content when we can go back and look at those things. It's not just a good meal. I can bring my wandering to Christ again, and I can receive again from Him His forgiveness, because I know I'm going to wander again. I know I'm going to be fearful again. I know I'm going to worry again. So I know that I need to bring those things to Him again, and I will be satisfied as I am reminded of His forgiveness. But deeper in my soul, I yearn to be content, knowing even when I do go astray, He still puts His arms around me and He still says, I am with you. I abide with you. So there is a deep completion. There is a deep, deep contentment that we're looking for. If I'm not completely satisfied and I go to a store or to a shop, I can go to the shop owner and say, this item wasn't adequate. These days, if you buy on Amazon, if for any reason you don't like it, it comes damaged, didn't fit, didn't work, you send it back and you say, I'm not satisfied with this. And companies like Amazon have made their business grow because they want to make sure their customers are satisfied. Well, you can build a business on satisfaction, and a lot of businesses do. And you've probably been to businesses, especially recently, where businesses are hurting for business, and they'll say, thank you for coming. Yeah, well, they're satisfied too. But they're not fully content. So they add this little phrase, come again. Thank you for coming, but come again. Because I want you back. I'm not completely convinced that my business is going to be sufficient on your one purchase. So please come again. And we come to Christ in the same way, saying, Lord, I need to be satisfied. I need to drink again from the waters of life. I have grown dry. I have gone away. I need you again today. But when we call out for Him, there's a deeper level of contentment that He says, even if you don't receive the thing that you wanted, I give to you my satisfaction on a deeper level, and that's contentment. I can make you content with nothing. Contentment. Verse 11 sort of concludes the psalm, and I want to take us there briefly. The king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him will exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. So here's the point of verse 11. Contentment ends deception. It's just that simple. Contentment ends deception. We are often deceived by the mouths of others. People convince us that we shouldn't be satisfied, that we can't be content. People speak into our ears the things that are painful, the things that we miss. They remind us of the things that have gone wrong. And you know what? We do that to ourselves. So actually, we deceive ourselves. We quickly repeat the things that we've heard the others say, and we quickly repeat to ourselves the things that we have felt that are painful. And it's like we have this conversation with ourselves. It's not a family conversation even, although it might be in the family. I can do it with myself. Lord, I'm not content about this. I struggle with that. Lord, why did this have to happen? And I just replay my lack of contentment. I deceive myself into thinking that I need all the things that I want before I can be content. Contentment, on the other hand, simply says, it's not true. It's not true. God has given me all I need. He is all I need. We started out with that when we looked at the confession this morning. And we all said it together. Christian, what's your comfort and hope in life? It's not the things we have. It's not the people around us even. It's not how well things are going at work or at school or at church or in the nation. My comfort, my hope is in my Savior who abides with me. And what we tend to want to say is, but I want to be satisfied about having things, the things that make me happy, and I want to be content. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how both to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full, to be hungry, to abound, and to suffer need. All things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. From the book of Philippians chapter 4. See, the Apostle Paul knew. He knew that the things, the wants, the needs, and he speaks of them, the hunger, the abounding, the suffering, the comforting. It was all a comfort ultimately in Christ. Because he was able to take those needs, take those wants, take those hungers, take those being abased and turn them because of the comfort of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Beloved in Christ, I want you to take this psalm and let Christ sing it into your heart. The mouths, even your own mouth, will be stopped. And just feel the magnificent arms around Christ, of Christ himself, surround you and say, I am with you. always, until the end of the ages. I will never let you go. In the shadows of the night, in the uncertainties of the day, in the fears, I will be with you. I will comfort you. And you may be content in me. Let me pray. Father, you have loved us, and so you gave your Son for us. Allow us to cause our minds and our hearts to grasp you again. Thank you, loving Father, that you don't leave us alone, not in darkness, not in hunger, not in the cold, not in want, not when things go wrong. You're not more with us when we feel comfortable, when we feel that things are right, when we feel that people are like us. You're not less with us in the darkness than you are in the light. So we ask, Almighty God, that you would cause our hearts to draw near to you in praise. For when we praise, we're able to understand your comfort. We praise you now because you have walked with us. You hold us. You embrace us. And you give to us that confidence, eternal confidence, that you will never depart. In Jesus' name, amen.